So I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, "I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!"
Home of LouisvillePolitics.com and now heard on Stitcher Radio. Yep, that's right. We are part of the Stitcher family. You can hear that in every brand new car brought out since 2010. So that's a great thing. You know, we're not going to waste a lot of time tonight. We've got a whole lot we want to get into, primarily in Louisville to start with. We've got so much to talk about. It's incredible. It never ceases to amaze me. And, of course, there's a State of the Union address tonight. We're going to try to touch on that towards the end of the show if we can get to it. In the meantime, Mr. Martin, how are you, sir?
Oh, doing all right. Working late again, so I'm on my way home. So.
Well, I'm glad to hear that you're working.
Cell phone technology. Let's give it up for it, man. Got a lot of it.
Well, I just like the fact that you're, you know, supporting Barack Obama since he built your company for you. And, most of us Americans appreciate that, you know, with what a great president he is. I'm going to kind of switch gears because I tell you, I really don't want to wait to get into Louisville first. I want to get into this idiot Obama. And I have to say idiot, folks, and I apologize if you're offended by the term. I really do. But, you know, we continue to have a problem. We continue talking about illegal immigration. We continue talking about all of these different things. And here we've got tonight the State of the Union address. And Michelle Obama, First Lady, is bringing illegal immigrants as guests of hers to the State of the Union address in our capital. We paid for this, our capital. On top of that, she's not the only one. There's at least five Democrats that are bringing illegal immigrants to the State of the Union. Michelle Obama is hosting a 20-year-old illegal immigrant she found in Nevada. I don't know where she found him at, probably hiding in an apartment with 14 or 15 others. Virginia Democrat Senator Mark Warner is bringing a 19-year-old illegal immigrant. Illinois Democrat Louis Gutierrez is bringing a 27-year-old illegal immigrant. And Texas Democrat Representative Mark Vesey is bringing a 32-year-old illegal immigrant. We also have Florida Democratic Rep. Kathy Castor. Of course, she's bringing her illegals in, too. I guess that's the thing now, isn't it? You don't want to be caught without your illegal immigrant by your side, do you? But how insulting
hey, well,
is this
I was
to the American?
Say, is that other senator or congressman we were talking about the other night? You bringing his underage illegal with him?
Well, you know, there is no report on that happening, but of course that kid has already been deported or is in the process of it. But what's really interesting here is, if we're going to get into breakdowns, like the Florida Democrat Representative Kathy Castor is bringing Jose Godinez Imperio, and the reason this guy is in the news, because he's trying to get a law license, even though he's an illegal immigrant, he wants to practice law in America. I find that insulting. So we've got another one. Illinois Democrat Gutierrez is bringing his 27-year-old illegal immigrant there. They live in South Carolina. And, you know, of course, what's this person doing? They're fighting deportation as we speak. So we've got a bunch of illegal immigrants going to be at our Capitol in the middle of the State of the Union address by our American president. Our Congress is going to be there, who makes the laws that we're supposed to uphold. And none of these people are going to be arrested as soon as they walk in the door. How pathetic is that?
Well, I'm also wondering if they have to spring for their own hotel room and transportation and everything too. But you know, I'm sympathetic towards illegal undocumented people to come to the country trying to better their lives. I happen to be sympathetic to it. However, for the State of the Union and for congressmen sworn to uphold the law, to sit there and say, you know, there's 314 million other law-abiding citizens in the United States, 600,000 in each and every one of your districts, and you're slapping them. There's kids that are excelling. Anybody else you can bring, but you've got to bring somebody yes, I'll admit it's a sympathetic play, but they're not U.S. citizens. They are breaking the law. It's a law. I don't tend to agree with the structure of the law as it currently stands, but yeah, they are lawbreakers. They're not citizens, and you're basically thumbing your nose at the other 600,000 legal immigrants and native-born Americans in your district. You go, oh, hell, you know, I'm going to take an illegal, and all you guys that have paid your taxes for all your life and in many cases have gone off and fought wars for your country and sent your children to fight wars for the country, whatever. Mm-hmm. You can stay at home and watch it on TV. I'm taping a sympathetic character of an illegal immigrant. So, if they get the right to vote, I'll get all their votes. It's kind of
what they're saying. But you're right, and that's what's so pathetic, because not only are these congressmen, you know, blatantly ignoring the law, they're also the ones who wrote the law. So Congress makes the law. Now they choose to ignore it. Now, correct me if I'm wrong here, Ed, but if I decided to commit a crime and you were my getaway driver, would you not be charged with law breaking as well as aiding and abetting? Is it not a felony? Is it not a felony to be an illegal immigrant in this country?
I got to wonder. I mean, you know, if you're going to get in those chambers, how do you get in the chambers where the president, the vice president, I mean, basically the entire upper management of the country, except for, you know, the handful in the contingency room, wherever that is. Hey, how does the Secret Service look at somebody and say, you're illegal? Yeah, you're good.
So that's another thing, too, because they're sworn to uphold the law. And the Secret Service and the law officers that are going to be responsible for security here are violating the law as well. You know, that's the whole thing to me. The First Lady of the United States should be brought up on charges right now of aiding and abetting illegal criminal behavior, as well as every one of these Democratic congressmen who are bringing illegal aliens into the Capitol for the State of the Union address and getting that close to the president. The president himself, knowing this, should be brought up on charges, and they won't do it.
Yeah, and yet they want to all pass laws that if business owners at some point hire an illegal, all I know is they can be paying all the taxes and not doing that whole cheap labor thing. But if you hire an undocumented worker and INS comes in to bust your ass, then you're going to get the ever-loving hell suit out of you and find out of you by the federal government. But a congressman or the first lady can prance him around into the Capitol building, which, mind you, I have never been myself. Anytime they want to call me, I'll go. But I've never been there. And you get to go in on somebody else's dime for the biggest night of the year? Please, come on. I paid taxes for 40, well, I guess, yeah, for about 30-some-odd years, 35 years now. It's like, oh, come on, guys. Come on, little slack here. Give me a call.
And you know what's really fascinating here, too? What does this say to everyone? You know, even the Washington Post last August had put out a story trying to talk about how great Obama was because he's deporting illegal immigrants faster than George Bush did. And the Republicans didn't think it was fast enough. So, you know, as of July of last year, Barack Obama had deported 1.4 million illegal immigrants since 2009 when he took office. That's 1.5 times more immigrants than George Bush deported, okay, every month. So Barack Obama is supposedly tough on illegal immigration, but yet then he picks and chooses to bring all these illegal immigrants to the State of the Union address, and that's okay. What does that say to the 1.5 million or the 1.4 million? And of course, that number is greatly higher than that now, presumably. What does that say to all the others that he kicked out? You know, and then of course, just 2 months later. Now, this is hilarious because 2 months later, we've got a report out by Fox News in October of 2012 because of Obama administration and the DREAM Act and all that stuff. Obama was refusing to deport illegal aliens, and law professors were saying it was unconstitutional. What's the real deal here, man? What's the real deal? What in the hell is going on?
I don't know. I mean, I don't think any harm's going to come of it per se, but I do see the irony. I mean, there is the offensive irony when you think of people that have died in fighting for the country and stuff, and it's like, oh, well, they don't all get the invite, you know. But you also kind of got to snicker a little bit at it when you think, hey, wonder if somebody who's been deported is going to be watching it, and they're going to look at it and go, hey, I know him.
Right.
What the, you know, looking at the television going, what the hell? They put me on a smelly bus and sent my ass back to Guatemala or wherever. And it's like, this guy's sitting next, I know him. He's sitting next to the first lady. What's up with that?
That's exactly it. And it's totally mind-boggling to me because, you know, here we are allowing this as a country, and nobody is standing up. I cannot understand why any Democrat or Republican who is not involved in this assault, and I consider it an assault on our Constitution, who I can't believe they would even show up at the State of the Union. Screw the State of the Union. There's a principle here. You know, the State of the Union is nothing more than gimmickry anyway. I mean, there is nothing in the State of the Union that does anything. I mean, it's basically a bully pulpit that's severely overrated. You know, it's nothing but a big presidential speech who's basically going to say everything he's already said. So it's a humongous waste of time. What better message to send than to have an empty hall? I mean, we've got Supreme Court justices that sit and watch the State of the Union address inside the chambers. And these are the Supreme Court. This is the law of the land. And they're allowing this to happen. How is this possible? And why are we not doing anything to hold them accountable? There's not a judge in this country who would hear a case on this at all if you brought charges. And that's what makes it totally sad and ridiculous to me. You've got people like me and others out there who get arrested illegally, you know, for doing nothing more than standing around and watching something or asking a name of an officer. They arrest you. But if I'm illegal in this country, I can do anything I want to do. Is that right? I mean, seriously, I have a major problem with this, and I'm having a hard time understanding it. I really, really am. And I guess that's kind of obvious, but, you know, it's fascinating, Ed. It really is. We're gonna pay attention to this going forward. You know, we'll have an article out on this, I'm sure, tomorrow at LouisvillePolitics.com. You know, and there's a lot here, too. And truthfully, another thing that really bothers me about this, and I'm going to go ahead and start getting into Louisville issues and tie this in, really, because one of the biggest problems with illegal immigrants is the strain on our economy. It is the amount of money that we have to spend. You've got English as a second language classes. We're spending billions and billions of dollars teaching the same curriculum in two different languages in schools because, you know, if you're an illegal immigrant, you're not required to learn the language. So now we're doubling the cost of education. Okay, and that's always been a big issue is education. You know, well, here in Louisville, there was a story out yesterday, came out yesterday afternoon, about the school board. The school board is on notice from the state education department, you know, who basically said, you know, we're tired of you guys screwing up education. Out of 18 schools that were persistently low-achieving schools, you know, the state has been involved in this, and the district supposedly made an agreement to make some changes that were going to improve these schools, and yet we find out now that 16 of these schools are still failing to improve, and they're griping about money.
They got money to make those changes too. Don't forget, they got grant money to try and get their scores up.
That's exactly where I'm heading to. But what's really startling to me is the comment, the statement by the new superintendent, Donna Hargens. You know, Donna Hargens made the comment that we know the stakes are high. The kids in the community are counting on us. We believe we give students an opportunity and a chance, and we work every day to give students life. Now, I might not be the smartest guy in the world here, never claimed to be. But it's our job as a school system and educators to give our students education, not life. Life is to be taught at home. Life is to be taught at home, not in a school. When did our schools become a one-stop shop for everything in the world that's wrong with America? I mean, it went so far that Kentucky Education Commissioner Terry Holliday described the situation in Louisville schools as academic genocide. And yeah. He said that the state may be forced to intercede. Now, a lot of people are taking this as, you know, taking this and getting on Terry Holliday saying it was poor choice of words. I disagree. I agree with Terry Holliday 100%. How about you?
Well, I don't know if genocide was the right word, but it is sort of it's definitely a crime against the youth.
He said academic genocide. There's a difference.
Yeah,
academic genocide means they're killing the school.
Well, it's academic suicide is what it is, and economic suicide. But, yeah, I watched some of that interview, some of that meeting, and, of course, it never fails, you know, excuses. And then Hargens and a few others were like, well, we know you're trying. Like, you know what? You guys are making some serious coin doing this. Trying doesn't cut it. You know what? If I got somebody at work who's trying but failing, I'm sorry. You've got to go. But
right.
It just amazes me. It's like, we know you're trying, and we know you're working hard, and, you know, why not follow it up with, and we know you're failing miserably. You know, to me, the most offensive thing is basically that you've got a bunch of adults who are covering for a bunch of other adults and who are making excuses and suffering. And in the end game, it's really comes down to it's an experiment. These adults on the school board and these adults that are running these schools are experimenting with kids. And
our neighborhood
given
schools,
that it's already
the answer.
Taken a couple of years, what can you possibly say to a kid who goes to one of these schools who graduated last year or the year before, and it's like, hey, sorry about your luck. You're functionally illiterate and can't get a street just an arithmetic. But, hey, we're trying. Maybe the next round of kids will come out a little smarter than you. I really wish juggernaut and these bureaucrats that there was some way some family could sue the school system for breach of contract or malfeasance or negligence or malpractice or something. It's like, well, you know, you send your kid to the school, you invest 12 years, whether you pay property taxes or not, but you hand your kids over, you're forced effectively to hand your kids over for 12
mm-hmm.
years to these schools,
mm-hmm.
and they don't do anything with them. They you know, really.
Well, you know what's fascinating, though, Ed? You know what's really fascinating here, too, though, is this is the third superintendent we've had in, 10 years? We went from Stephen Doshner to Sheldon Berman to Donna Hargens, and none of these people. Stephen Doshner was actually qualified and did a great job. The problem was the Jefferson County School Board would not work with the superintendent when it was Stephen Doshner. That was the biggest problem with our schools at that time. And then they brought in these two lackeys and Sheldon Berman and now Donna Hargens. You know, and it's interesting because Hargens continues to go on trying to talk about impacting lives and changing lives and all this stuff. She's not saying one damn thing about education, and that's disturbing to me. I tell you honestly, Ed, you know,
here's what she's doing. She's politicking because
sure she is.
She's covering for the principals, her old cover for the teachers. So when a time comes for a contract to come up, you know, there'll be pressure applied from many directions on the school board to re-up her contract. All she's doing is, you know, wouldn't it be interesting if the students and the parents had a vote on that?
Well, I tell you what would be interesting.
She's covering all her bureaucratic bases to make sure she's rehired, get some kind of performance bonus, probably get a little extra.
Well, I don't think that really matters.
And everything else, she's covering her ass that way by playing the game and making excuses for, you know, an essential, you know, unmitigated failure.
Well, I don't think that matters at all because Sheldon Berman is a case in point. Sheldon Berman was one of the worst superintendents we've ever had in Jefferson County schools, in my opinion. And Sheldon Berman, when he was fired from Louisville, he just went to Oregon with a pay raise. So, you know, I don't think that that's an issue for people at that level. They'll just move on to the next job that's getting them a pay raise. What's disturbing to me is we see one thing in common. The schools continue to fail. And our solution has always been to change the superintendent, and we have had no gain whatsoever changing the superintendent of the schools. I tell you, there are two basic flaws with education in Jefferson County. One of them is we've got a school board that we don't need. There is no excuse in the world for us to have a school board in Jefferson County. They need to be gone because the school board is making
elected,
all the decisions.
An elected school board that let's face it, that the, you know, I do respect teachers, but let's face it, they leverage those candidates something ferocious. They go in and they put their money and their schools are off that day, so they go out and they stand around and basically the teachers select the school board every year.
Well, that's exactly it. So they're going to pick people. That brings me to the next point. And the second thing is the JCTA. The Jefferson County Teachers Association. The school board and the union work in collusion. And I mean that seriously, folks. They work in collusion. The union elects the school board. The teachers in the union elect the school board. And the school board is going to work with these guys to get them what they want on a contract so they can keep whatever power they want. If you're hell-bent and determined in this town to continue with this asinine, outdated school board, then we have to face reality. There is no justification for somebody like Carol Haddad to continue being on a school board after all of these years. Her children are grown, have been grown for many, many years. You know, there's no reason for her to be there. If we're going to insist on a school board, then let's at least do something that we do to the mayor of this town and put these members on a daggone term limit. Let's limit two terms on a school board. Let's make it a one-term commitment. You're on for 3 or 4 years, and you're moving on. Education moves so fast today, and rules change so swiftly in education that we need fresh people in there at all times. So maybe we need to look at that. But we also need to rein in the Jefferson County Teachers Association. It's incredible to me what these two people have done. They are the principal reason we have failing schools in Jefferson County. I don't blame Donna Hargens for the most part. I think she's a lunatic when she starts looking at this as being a life thing instead of an education thing. That's not her job to decide my life. Her job is to teach me reading and comprehension and math skills. Okay, and that's the thing, because we don't have a plan of attack. We don't have a direct plan that's holding us accountable to the most basic of what our education needs are. And that's because of the school board and the JCTA, in my opinion. Would you agree?
Yeah, I think so. I think, you know, the same politics apply when it comes to principals. And obviously, you know, especially out there near and dear to you, I believe it was Valley High School.
Mm-hmm.
One of the failing ones.
Valley and Boss.
They said, get rid of him. I mean, they were flat out told, get rid of the principal. Yet everybody in the system closed ranks and they kept him on. You know,
sure,
and
they did.
School failing again. You know, so, I mean, it's like, gosh, really, it's. You know, I go back to it. My wife works, you know, she took a job as a nurse and went back to school and got a nurse. So we could send our daughters to a private school. You know, so we made the sacrifices to do that. And And, you know, I say all the time, I'm so glad we did because, you know, and we knew what school was going to be because I always go back to this. Is I get so sick and tired of listening to people say, oh, it's a mission. It's a calling. It takes a special person to be a teacher. You know, this is like Hawkins, teaching him about life. I sat there when my daughter was, we were going to select a school and went to the president of the school that they go to and
right.
said, look, I worked pretty hard for my money. I says, you're talking about a pretty, you know, over 4 years, this is some pretty decent, this is a pretty decent mm-hmm. sized chunk of change we're talking about here. I said, do you accept that you have a product to offer me and that it damn sure better be worth what I'm paying for it? And
well,
he
see,
said, yes. He said, yes. And he says, and it is worth it, because if it wasn't, we'd be out of business. And I thought, you know what? I just found my school.
Sure. You're a businessman. You can understand that. And that's what's interesting, too, because the Kentucky Department of Education, Ed, you know, has given millions of dollars in resources to these failing schools, to these 18 schools. I mean, we're talking millions of dollars. We continue complaining about education funding, and we don't have enough money. 16 of the 18 schools who are receiving millions of dollars to change their things showed no progress at all. No progress. You know, and then it's interesting, and just to give Terry Holliday credit here, I mean, I want to read his complete statement about academic genocide. His statement said that this is about poverty. This is about kids who are not coming to school. This is about lack of parental engagement, and frankly, it's academic genocide. What hope do these children have? That's the quote by Terry Holliday. Now, here's the thing. Think about what he just said. Lack of parental engagement, poverty, kids aren't coming to school, which brings me to another point here, Ed. You know, most of these problems,
schools.
You betcha, because you're looking at Valley and Doss, for example, Iroquois, for example. These were high-performing schools prior to busing. When busing came in the 70s, all of these schools went straight downhill. When you got kids who are spending a couple of hours a day on a school bus just getting to school in the morning, they're not getting proper rest. How engaged is their brain to learn anything? There are so many things that are wrong with the busing plan and everything else that these clowns at the JCPS continue to want to do. It's totally incredible, and they are destroying schools. So maybe we need to get back to neighborhood schools. That's something we've talked about before, but I think this is clear evidence that that's true. Would you agree?
Oh, I don't think there's any question in that. I mean, you look, and when it comes to, you know, your wealthier schools or your wealthier parents, and people that can make the sacrifice, you know, they're going to be able to commute, but the most at-risk students, they probably share, you know, like you said, poverty. Their parents may be working the second shift. They may be working two part-time jobs. They're two full. You know, they're working. They're struggling. They're probably without a car. They don't have the wherewithal to make it, you know, all the way across town on a given night. You know, and there's probably just mm-hmm. a few employers. Let's just say if they're working, you know, they're working at night, struggling to make ends meet for their family. And they said, hey, can I have off to go to my parent-teacher conference? It's probably not.
Right.
It just amazes me. You know,
well, and that's if they can afford to take off.
If they can afford to take off. Yeah, so neighborhood schools. I mean, you got to look at that or maybe a little creativity. Who knows? On a given night when they have parent-teacher conferences, maybe the mayor or somebody can perk up and get a little innovative, which is, you know, sort of lacking in politics and government and bureaucracies mm-hmm. and all that. Maybe we could have a couple TARC buses run a special route to those schools or something so the parents can get there. If, you know, you're going to insist on busing kids all the way across town, maybe you should look into that, you know.
Or if we quit busing kids all the way across town.
I mean, it's a damn shame that we have to discuss that. You've got to sit there and scratch your head and go, how can we get parents more involved?
Well, hey, look, now let's look at reality.
We all know if they could walk to their schools, it'd be easy.
Think about the millions of dollars you would save not busing kids around school. And then we're talking about trying to find a way to get parents to school to get involved. Think about this. You take one bus per school. You rotate the drivers. So that's overtime for them. They want to get paid. They're union employees, right? So every time you have a parent-teacher conference, which is, what, twice a year at most? I mean, most of the time it's twice a year. You have one in the fall and you have one in the spring. So you get your parent-teacher conference. You send that bus around. Anybody that doesn't have a ride signs up on a list, and that bus picks them up, takes them to the conference, and takes them back home. It's still a hell of a lot cheaper than busing our kids. It won't cost us anything. That's a drop in the bucket. We can arrange transportation for a reasonable cost. So we can eliminate that whole excuse for everybody and force the parents to become accountable as well. When we talk about poverty and the other things, let's move into a couple of different stories here, because this is one of the things, this is one of the reasons we have a problem. You just mentioned two parents working two jobs and things like that, part-time jobs trying to make ends meet. Well, this is a reason why, folks, because here in Louisville, according to Forbes.com, you can go to Forbes.com and look this story up yourself. Louisville is ranked the third hardest city for finding a job, Ed.
Yeah.
And you think about this. So we're sitting here talking about how you're having to work two part-time jobs or two full-time jobs. That's if you can even find a job. You don't have a car because you don't have a job, and you can't go to work. The number three hardest city in the country for finding a job is right here in Louisville, Kentucky. Now, as if that isn't bad enough, here we've got another story. This is out of the Courier Journal today. We now have seven Louisville Democrat Metro Council members who want to raise insurance taxes on people.
Yeah.
Seven Louisville Metro Council Democrats want to raise the tax on insurance premiums by 20%. So they can generate about $10 million a year. Hello?
Yeah.
What's this all about? You know what I mean?
Of course, it's for affordable housing. So, I mean, it's typical. If you look at the list that's on there, mm-hmm. The only one I have any respect for would be Tina Ward, too. I mean, she's always been honest about what she is. But, I mean, you got your Tom Owens and your guys like that, you know.
Erica Scott, Madonna Flood, Mary Woolrich, and Rick Blackwell.
And they come up with this nice thing, you know, it's an affordable housing allowance, you know, or alliance or whatever. And they're looking to fund it. I mean, that sounds great, you know. It's like it's the Puppies and Rainbows Alliance and, the World Peace Alliance. It sounds great. But what are they doing? They're going after people who, in many, many cases, are struggling like hell to make ends meet. They're playing by the rules. You know, let's say, I guess his insurance tax applies to automobiles or not. I don't know.
It does. The insurance tax is going to apply to health insurance, life insurance, homeowners, and auto. So here's what you've got.
I do think it skipped health insurance. But
it does not skip it.
So let's see. So let's look at it this way. So you're obeying the law, you know, and you're getting insurance on your car, which, by the way, is a huge problem in Kentucky, uninsured drivers. So now you're going to be taxed because you obey the law. You know, the guy who drives around with no insurance, he doesn't give a damn. You know, you take money out of your paycheck to pay for health insurance. Although I do think that was exempted. But, I mean, you got homeowner's insurance. Then obviously you're trying to be, you know, a productive citizen, making payments on your house, probably struggling, and a lot of people are, and they come in and they smack you, you know.
Here's the thing.
When you buy insurance, that's sort of a sign that you are trying to play by the rules, and because you're trying to play by the rules, because you're trying to be productive, slap you upside the head and give it to somebody who's not as productive.
But you can't play by the rules. Here's the thing. The Urban Services District, which was the old city of Louisville prior to merger, okay, the Urban Services District, all right, they're gonna have a tax increase on all of their insurance policies, health, life, homeowners, and auto. Now, you think about this. You're mandated by law to have auto insurance, so they automatically have you by the butt there. You're mandated by law now with Obamacare.
You're right.
Right. You're mandated by law with Obamacare for health care now, so they're going to nail you there. And your mortgage company mandates that you carry homeowners. The only one in here you even have a choice about is life insurance, but if you die, you're going to lose everything if you don't have it. So, you know, now the rest of the people, the county people, the old county, the unincorporated area of Jefferson County, they are exempted from the health policies. So the health care is included in the old in the urban services district, the old city of Louisville, but the health policies are not included in the county. Now, this is supposed to go to Louisville Metro Affordable Housing Trust Fund. Now, let me explain this to you people. The Louisville Metro Affordable Housing Trust Fund is a trust fund that's set up to help poor people get housing. The problem is, when you look at the people who are going to suffer from this tax, primarily in the urban services district, I don't know if you guys have ever went downtown, saw all these shotgun houses or any of these homes that are down there. The people that live there are dirt poor. They don't have any more money for taxes to give to somebody else who's poor to buy a house. You know, so here we've got an education system that's completely messed up. We're blaming poverty on. All right, the city of Louisville can't create jobs because of their tax situation. As we now know, we're third worst in the country for jobs. And this is exactly one more reason why, because we've got Democrats such as Tina Ward-Pugh, Atticus Scott, who took over for Judy Green. There's another money-grubbing little shit. Brent Ackerson, Madonna Flood. We could talk about her for hours, her and her convicted felon husband who works for the city. Mary Woolridge, Rick Blackwell, the clown in District 12 out here in PRP, and, of course, Tom Owen. So there's your Democrats. There's not a Republican on the council who's going to go along with this, but they won't have a choice because, unfortunately, we don't have a balance of power. We don't have a balance of power at the Metro Council. The other 10 Democrats are looking into it now. They wouldn't go on record saying they're for it. But it doesn't matter because the Democrats have enough votes to pass this, whether they get a Republican vote or not. So here we are, Ed. Now we've got Greg Fisher doing this. And, oh, by the way, we've also got Greg Fisher in Frankfort lobbying to get a 1% local sales tax increase. You know, at the same time all this is going down, Ed, here's the funny thing. What's the number one drain right now when it comes to the city tax base going on right now? It's the Yum Center.
The Yum Center.
There you go. Where does everybody think this money is going to go? It's not going to go where it's supposed to go. This is just by design to raise more money, to offset the money that we're losing on the Yum Center, because nobody wanted to listen to Ed Springsteen in 2006, David Jones in 2006, or John Schneider in 2006 when they told them this was a pipe dream.
Yep.
So What do we do, Ed? I mean, what do we do?
And, of course, let me just go ahead and tell you how it's going to play out. Is if they pass this tax and they pass other taxes and stuff and service fees, which are taxes, and drainage fees, which are taxes. And once they pass all this and the Yum Center continues to lose money, what we're going to get from our politicians is, you know, we had hoped to do this, but we have to cover our debts. We have to bolster it, because if we lose our credit rating, our cost of money will go up, and the long term cost will be more expensive for us. So, so this is just a short term patch. You know, we're not going to be able to allocate the money that we thought we were to the affordable housing or drainage improvement or anything like that. We have to keep our credit rating.
Well, that's the whole thing, though, Ed, because, I mean, here, this is going to pass. There's not a doubt in my mind about it. It only takes 14 votes in the Metro Council if they've got a full council present, 26 members. They've got 16 Democrats out of 26. So two Democrats can jump ship and vote with Republicans and still get this thing to pass, and they're going to. There's not a doubt in my mind about that. The problem is that we're still not going to do anything about it. That's what destroys me. Kelly Downer said it best. He says this plan is not well thought through. There's no way in the world he can support this. That's what Metro Councilman Kelly Downer had to say, and that's what every other Republican has said that I've spoken to. So when you look at this, this is nothing more than the Democrats doing what they do best. We don't have jobs here, even though they're trying to lie and say that we do. We now have proof that we don't on a national stage. This is an embarrassment to Kentucky. And, oh, by the way, while they're doing all of this, who else is raising money? MSD. We talked about it last night. One business went from $800 to $14,000 a year in assessed drainage fees. You know, and all this money is going into this great melting pot because the city of Louisville does not want to take care of their business. It's not that we don't have plenty of money. We're just like the federal government. There's plenty of money coming in. We've got too many greedy Democrats in this damn town that want to take it and then some. We've got a pension in Frankfort that's totally destroyed. The Democrats put these pension plans in place. Okay, what are we going to do here, Ed? What are we going to do?
Well, with regard to Lizzo and all the taxes, I actually had a friend of mine emailed me that article from the Courier today, and all I could write back to him was, is that I'm feeling really good about having moved my business to Bullitt County right about now.
Oh, I know.
And you know what? That's where these idiots, that's where they miss it. You know, I guess they don't realize, you know, that it's not that big a deal. That's what happened to me, not along these lines. But we were getting jerked around every time we tried to do something with the buildings we were in. We wanted to expand a few, just literally a couple thousand feet. No, you have to plant trees. But this is the parking lot. I don't care. I'm telling you to plant trees. Right here on through the asphalt? Yeah, you know, stupid crap like that, you know?
Sure.
Relax. And just like these drainage fees, I mean, the thing that cracks me up, because I'm sitting here thinking it wasn't just a couple weeks ago that the city was touting this vacant land that they're going to try to sell, and I'm going to put a sweetheart price on it. And the acreage was pretty substantial. It's like, oh, yeah. Well, add to your drainage fee. I mean, if you're a big company, it's probably not that big a deal, but the drainage fee. And now the insurance fees. So it's like, my God, I mean, where does it end? Guys, all I can tell people is, hey, if you want to come to Mount Washington, they still got vacant land out there for you, and it's all you want to certify. And they really do appreciate you. They don't look at you like some sort of organ donor. You know, they're going to part your ass out or something and cover what they need. It just amazes me. I mean, and it's, I guess, you know, I don't want to call them stupid, but I guess they just don't get the longer-term picture. You know, they see that.
I disagree.
It's a simple X, Y kind of mathematic equation. Raise taxes should raise revenue. Well,
I disagree,
no,
because
there
the people
are
involved.
Other variables.
I disagree. The people involved know the long term picture isn't going to be good. They're not dumb. This is purely intentional. They don't care about the long term picture. All they care about is making sure that they keep power and money and influence. That's it. This is nothing more than ego trips on steroids. That's all it is. They don't care about the future. They want theirs right now. These elected Democrats that we have in this state and in this city are the most selfish, egotistical bunch of prudes I've ever met in my life. Now, they don't like it when I say that, but I've spoken with quite a few of them on a personal level, and I come away disgusted, needing at least 3 showers and some Ajax just to cleanse myself because they're so dirty when I leave them. It's pathetic. Not that we don't have Republicans like that as well, folks. I'm not denying that. But I'm talking about the majority of people who are making the decisions, and that just happens to be Democrats. We got to take a quick break, Ed. We're late on the draw here, man. We'll be right back.
All right.
This is the MVM Radio Show, Inspiration Show, right here on the MVM Radio Network. Stay tuned.
Oh, being a victim of crime is no joke, but you do have options that can help you avoid becoming a victim. I'm Ed Springson of the My View Matters Radio Show, and on behalf of myself and co-host Ed Martin, I urge each of you to help us fight against crime. You can do your part by calling Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE. Since 1982, Crime Stoppers has helped get over 23,000 criminals off the street with your help. Working together, we can make a difference to take our streets back. Please call Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE, or you can visit them online at www.582clue.com. Remember, Crime Stoppers always offers up to a $1,000 reward. Get involved and help make a positive change in your neighborhood. Thanks.
Advertisers, here's a great way to reach a quality audience. Get heard on My View Matters and make some noise in the marketplace.
Email myviewmatters@aol.com for advertising opportunities. Make a sound investment.
I'm here to give you anything you like. You want free college, energy, mortgages, whatever you like. You have come to the right place. Why? I'll tell you why.
Who can take your money?
Who can take your money?
With a twinkle in their eye.
A twinkle in their eye.
Take it all away and give it to some other guy. The government.
The government.
The government can.
Government.
make it all this good.
The government takes everything we make to pay for all of their solutions. Healthcare, climate change, pollution. Throw away the Constitution. And who can give a bailout?
Founding fathers roll over in the grave. The government.
The government.
Oh, the government can.
The government can.
And the government can come to mix it up with us and make it all.
Yes. The government can. At least that's what comedian Tim Hawkins thinks. That's the guy who wrote the song, and I kind of have to agree with him. They think they can do everything, make it all rosy. We're so dependent on Big Brother, we don't know what it's all about anymore. You know, Ed, I tell you, we've talked so much tonight about the stupidity and the idiocy that's going on in politics at both the local and the national level. You know, there every now and then there's a bright glimpse of some hope. And believe me, I hate to even bring this story up because I can't stand the guy who's sponsoring it. And I know that there's a political motive for it. Just ask Darrell Owens and the Black Caucus in Frankfurt. They'll know what the motive is. But Kentucky House Speaker Pro Tem Larry Clark has sponsored legislation that is co-sponsored by Representative Charlie Miller, both Democrats, right here out of Louisville. They've introduced legislation to prohibit Louisville from paying legal fees from Metro Council members or any other Metro official named in an ethics complaint. What this essentially means, folks, is the county attorney's office is required by law to represent Metro Council members. That's what they're supposed to do. What we saw in the late former Councilwoman Judy Green's ethics case and currently in the Barbara Shanklin case is they continue to go out and get outside attorneys to fight these cases for them, and they pay them taxes to do that. They're paying these guys. Judy Green cost us over $100,000. Barbara Shanklin, if it hasn't cost us that, is fast approaching it at this point, and they're nowhere near done. So, you know, this is a situation where they're saying, you know what, it's not right for the city to be on the hook to pay for attorney fees for a Metro employee or any Metro official who has violated the law and been charged with ethics complaints. What do you think about that, Ed?
Well, I think it doesn't go far enough. I think it ought to apply to all government officials and all appointed and pretty much anybody with the state. I don't think we should pay private attorneys, period. It's like, look, you throw in your lot with the state and you misbehave and you go outside of the parameters of the government, be it local, state, or whatever. I think you ought to just, you know, if you're going to throw in with them and you're going to profit from it, I think you ought to just have to settle for the county attorneys, you know, unless you want to dig deep into your own pocket. Yeah, I don't think it goes far enough. I think it ought to apply to state legislators and everything.
And I totally agree with that assessment. You know, I mean, the reality is, I mean, let's face facts here. Judy Green was guilty. She was impeached for it. You know, Barbara Shanklin is guilty, but she won't be impeached for it, even though she should. She's got an identical case that Judy Green had. Madonna Flood and her convicted felon John Flood are dirty. I don't care if they like that terminology or not. Sue me, folks. I don't care. That's my opinion. You know, there's so much going on here, you know, but I didn't get paid for the hours and hours and hours it took me to investigate Judy Green and file a complaint. I didn't get paid for the hours and hours and hours that I undertook to investigate Jim King and file a complaint against him, both of which I won. I don't get paid for any of that. I'm doing basically the same legal services. I'm doing all the research. These attorneys are getting what I've already handed to them on a silver platter. And they're getting paid $150 an hour to prosecute. So it's not just the defense of Judy Green and Barbara Shanklin. You have to understand, we also pay a prosecutor as well. Okay, so, you know, I don't get reimbursed for that or my time, and I'm doing the job for them. They don't have to do anything but present the case that I give them. So if it's coming out of my pocket, why should it come out of theirs if they're the ones that are dirty and guilty in the first place?
Well, I think so, and I think also, you know, if they can't do that, if they can't come to an agreement on that, then I think if found guilty, you have to reimburse the city for your entire defense. And
interestingly enough,
sort of a loser pay kind of thing. I think, you know, a loser pays if you're somebody like Barbara Shanklin and you're staring at it and you're looking at it going, yeah, you're going to lose.
Oh, yeah.
At that point, you settle because you don't want to get hit coming and going.
Well, essentially, though, but essentially, I mean, I like the concept of that as a general rule, but I think that it would defeat the whole purpose of transparency and accountability and ethics in government, because you take a small guy like me, you know, who, you know, I've got all the proof and stuff, but quite frankly, everything is politics. Judy Green would not have been impeached if the Metro Council Democrats didn't want her impeached. I can tell you this for a fact from personal knowledge. I mean, I know a few of them that talked to me and begged me to do this, that they were just waiting for this case to find her guilty so they could get rid of her because she didn't have any friends on the council. I know this firsthand. Can I prove it? They won't go on record, so you're just going to have to take my word for it. Okay, but, you know, the thing is, when you get somebody like that, like me, for example, I'll use myself as an example. You know, if you get into that situation, you know, then the county attorney's office is going to charge you for whatever they perceive their time to be, which would be the same amount they're paying a defense attorney. You know, all these other things. I mean, you could really get into a couple $100,000. So you're going to find people who are going to be too scared to file charges because of the politics involved, because if they lose, they lose everything they've ever worked for. So I understand the logic behind it, but I don't think it's the right way to go. What's interesting here, though, Ed, is, you know, some of the key Metro Council members oppose the idea. But in this particular case, it's not the Metro Council Democrats who are getting named in the Courier-Journal. It's the chairman of the Government Accountability and Ethics Committee, our good friend, a guy I speak about all the time is doing a good job, Jerry Miller. Councilman Jerry Miller, Republican out in 19th District, went on record opposing the idea. Because he says that most of us are not affluent enough to afford an attorney to defend ourselves. Now, I cry hogwash. I like Jerry Miller. I think he does a fantastic job, but I think he's dead wrong here. What do you think?
Well, I think the point being that you don't defend yourself. If you're brought up on ethics charges, you know what? If the public defenders are good enough for people that are staring down things like life sentences, mm-hmm. You're good enough for you. And if you, you know, if you, or the county attorney's office, whether he hops in with it, you know, whichever. I think it'll be a government employee. And if not, then, you know, that's the case, then hire better government, hire better attorneys on the, you know, on the government staff. And,
well, sure.
Yeah, you know, that's what I think. And I think that's what the bill says is, look, if you're going to get, you're going to be brought up on charges, the county attorney, you know, the government will provide you with an attorney.
Well, and that brings us to an excellent point, too, because, you know, I've got to go to trial March 19th, you know, because I was falsely arrested. I was arrested for a false charge, an illegal charge. The cop lied. That's okay, you know, but I've got to pay the attorney to defend me against his false charges, and he's got the full weight of Michael Connell's office behind him on our tax dollars. They're spending thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars to take me to trial on a case that should have already been dismissed and will be dismissed after March 19th. So you've got all this going on. So what is the difference here between these guys being accused of ethics violations? If I've got to pay my legal fees, even if I'm falsely accused, they're not going to reimburse me for that. I'll end up having to file a lawsuit, which I will. But, you know, what's the difference here? Because I fail to see that logic or that difference at all. Because they happen to be a Metro official. Do you know in the LMPD standard operating procedures that if a Metro official gets pulled over for anything or any reason, the first thing they're required to do is call the bosses at Metro Hall, the City Hall, and tell them first? They can't even transport them until they make that phone call. Do I get that same opportunity? It's a double standard is the point.
Well, it's a double standard, and like I say, and as much as I do like Jerry Miller, and he actually came out with, you know, an equally brilliant statement about the county pension going into the state pension, and what a mm-hmm. black hole it is, he would know. But like I say, when you're brought up on charges, it's like, hey, you know, if you can't afford an attorney, one will be provided for you. It's like, all right, Jerry, if you can't afford an attorney, one will be provided for you.
Well, that's exactly it.
Might not be the attorney you want. You know, might not be the F. Lee Bailey of Louisville or whoever, but you know what? One will be provided for you.
Yeah, and you're absolutely right, too, about Jerry Miller, too, because I like Jerry Miller a great deal. I think he's done a great job. I really do, and I've got a lot of respect for Jerry Miller. You know, and as you pointed out, he's talking about the pension cost. Him and Ken Fleming, the Republican Caucus Chairman Ken Fleming and Jerry Miller, are going to meet with Damon Thayer, you know, and they're going to look at the state pension program. But, you know, Jerry Miller pointed out the obvious. I mean, in the last decade, the city's pension costs has doubled. The best thing Louisville can do is get the hell out of the KRS system and move forward with their own pension plan, because they're funding the rest of the state because the rest of the state isn't doing their job. So I'm totally with Jerry on that, as well as many other issues, but I can't stand with him here. If I'm forced to pay legal fees because I've been falsely accused, you know, Barbara Shanklin hasn't been falsely accused. The evidence is clear. Judy Green wasn't falsely accused. The evidence is clear. So they get to walk away. They get to walk away. No harm, no foul. They weren't required to reimburse the taxpayers for anything. But yet I've got to pay an attorney. You know, now I'm going to get reimbursed in the long run, 2-3 years from now, however long they want to keep jacking it around. All right. But at the same token, you know, that's money you got to do without right now. How fair is that? That's what I'm not seeing here. And I don't understand Jerry's point on this. And I'm going to get a call into Jerry this week, and I really want to talk to him about this. But, you know, it's very fascinating because you look at this. And, of course, Michael Connell's office, his spokesman says that they have no position on this. This legislature, you know, which I totally don't buy at all, because I know Michael Connell. That's the only reason I've got to go to trial. It's a personal thing. But, you know, when you look at all of this stuff, you know, we had $110,000 paid involving late Councilwoman Judy Green. We've already paid over $70,000 just to Attorney Aubrey Williams. All right, that's Barbara Shanklin's attorney. That's not counting the other side of this in her ongoing case right now. So right now we've got $180,000 in legal fees out just for these two people. Now, I'm sorry, folks. I didn't get paid $180,000 for my work in these two cases. I didn't get paid $180,000 for my work against Jim King or Katie King. So why should they? If the county attorney is responsible to represent these people, then let the county attorney do their job. The only exception to that would be the county attorney cannot represent them if the Metro Council decides to proceed with impeachment hearings, because then you've got a conflict of interest. But in an ethics investigation, there is no conflict of interest. So why is it that we've got to pay double it?
Well, I don't know. Like I say, there's one thing for sure. When they brought the prosecutor in, I know you like him, Earhart, but yeah, beyond that, it's like, look, you don't get to go shopping. You know, if somebody sues me, I don't get to hand the taxpayers the bill and go out and find the best attorney I can.
Right.
Or, you know, the one who can jerk it around the most. It's like,
right.
No, it doesn't work that way. It's, look, you either, if you can't afford an attorney, one will be provided for you. It doesn't say you get to go out and shop them up and you can send us the bill. It's, no, one will be provided for you, and it'll probably be some wet behind the ears kid. You know, if they truly do it random, it's like, hey, I got some free time, I'll take it.
Oh, there you go. There you go. And, you know, when you talk about James Earhart, I do happen to love this guy. I think James Earhart is probably one of the smartest attorneys I have ever met in my life. If it wasn't for the fact that James Earhart does city work and gets paid by the city, which I believe would be a conflict of interest, I would have hired him on the spot on my case instead of hiring somebody else. I love my attorney, don't get me wrong. One of the best guys in Louisville. But Earhart does not miss a beat, man. This guy is incredible. You know, I guess this sounds like an advertisement for James Earhart, but folks, I'm telling you, you can't find a better lawyer if he can hear your case. When you're dealing with the city, I'm not sure he can. Anyway, man, we're going to wrap this up, Ed. We're not going to have a lot of time. I wanted to really get into Obama's mortgage crisis. You know, his group has failed to fall through, and I guess we'll have to get into that tomorrow night. Unfortunately, you won't be here, so I apologize. Final thoughts, my friend.
Oh, final thoughts. You know, it's pretty much always the same. Except tonight. Tonight's special occasion. It's State of the Union. I'll probably watch it. But, you know, the thing I would encourage people, it just makes politics a lot more fun, a little more aggravating, but a lot more fun. Hey, people, stay cynical. Sit here and pretty much everything any politician ever says, you know, think to yourself, prove it. Yeah. You know, bollocks, as the English would say, bollocks. Have some fun with it. So no matter, you know, it's like, hey, when they sit here and say, in Louisville, you know, they want to put an insurance tax on, and then but they don't want to dedicate the money for that. You know, that was the other fun thing about that. That money was not set aside in an Al Gore lockbox for that housing. It's just like, okay, well, we're going to raise the money. This is what it's for, but trust us to do it. You know what? People need to look at that. They need to look at their politician and go, bollocks, bollocks. You're full of it.
Well, there you go, man. I totally agree. And, you know, it's really fascinating because we continue to have the same problems. When we look at education here in Louisville and Jefferson County, we have to understand the one basic thing that has consistently been the same, the JCTA and the Jefferson County School Board. We have changed superintendents. The state has given us millions of dollars, and yet we see no noticeable improvements and no changes whatsoever. That should tell us something. Because I don't think you can have three superintendents and they're all three to do the same damn things and continue with the same result. It just defies logic. When you make a change in leadership, typically things happen either better or worse. They don't stay the same. Our education here has stayed the same. That tells me that the biggest problem is the Jefferson County School Board. It's an outdated model. We need to abolish the Jefferson County School Board and make the mayor and the superintendent responsible. That narrows down the playing field. That narrows down everything. And we've got a hell of a lot more accountability there than we do with all these school board members. The school board race is nothing more than a popularity contest. A teacher wants to elect this guy because the teachers are part of the JCTA. The school board is going to negotiate with their contract. Therefore, they want to elect somebody that's going to give them a favorable contract. They don't care about you. They don't care about me. They don't care about the taxes. They just care that they're going to get theirs. And that's essentially what goes on. So we have a problem with education because we don't have any ready, willing, and able to deal with that problem head on. Get rid of the school board. At the very least, term limit it. We have to do something to get rid of these outdated model and these outdated school board members like Carol Haddad. Was Carol Haddad a great voice for the JCPS? Perhaps at one time. But her way of thinking is outdated. She can't keep up with today's tune. And quite frankly, she's the biggest voice there. You get rid of that problem and you'll see some other problems go as well. The second thing that we have to address here, folks, is poverty. We have to address poverty. We have to address the busing situation. All these things that are costing us money that's destroying our kids and their future in education. Louisville, Kentucky is ranked as the third hardest city for finding a job. Let me repeat that. Louisville, Kentucky is ranked as the third hardest city for finding a job. And yet, while we're the third hardest city for finding a job, we've got a hell of a lot of poverty in this town. Louisville has already had a reputation for many, many years of being one of the highest taxed cities in this state, in this nation, if you will. And yet, we don't understand there's a correlation there. So what's our answer? Let's go ahead and increase taxes on anything you pay insurance for. Let's go to Frankfurt and request a 1% sales tax increase on a local option. They're not getting the message that you can't spend your way to prosperity. We can't do that. And then, of course, we've got all the wasted money on ethics hearings and everything else because the county attorney, quite frankly, Michael Connell's office, is not doing his job. And the Metro Council is not holding him accountable because it's self-serving. Why would they care if we spent taxpayer money to defend them because it's not coming out of their pocket? Yet if you or I go to court and have to defend ourselves, it costs us money. We have to pay for ours. Why shouldn't they pay for theirs? We have a long way to go in this city, folks, a long way to go in this state. But I can promise you this, we're starting the way right here at LouisvillePolitics.com and the MVM Radio Network. Mr. Martin, have a great night. We'll see you, I guess, Monday.
Yes, sir.
All right, sir. Thanks so much for joining us, folks.
The State of the Union address.
Yeah, you go have fun with that State of the Union address, man. Folks, we will see you guys. I'll end up watching it, I know, and I'm going to hate every minute of it. All right, folks, take care. Ed. Folks, have a great night. We'll see you tomorrow night at 7 o'clock right here with Dale the Truth. Have a great night. Thank you all for listening.